Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To date, 21 people have contacted me and Karen and saying as a direct result of what we do on social media and Little Red's legacy and Sean's story, that their life or a loved one's life has been saved.
Which is incredible.
Our son's not going to die in vain.
This week on Grief Encounters, we were joined by Joe Hughes and Karen Phoenix, and it was a really beautiful conversation about their son, Sean, also known as Lil Red. Sean passed away not so long ago in 2018 from sepsis, and I don't think we know an awful lot about what sepsis is, but 3,000 people in Ireland die every year from this. Joe and Karen tell us all about what happened to their son, who he was, and of course a very important mission to them, which is to talk about what sepsis is, the signs of it, and to prevent deaths that could occur from this. They both love their son so much, and it's so clear from this conversation, and they're doing such great work to help save other families from this. Yeah, it was an honor to be able to talk to them. First of all, thank you for joining us today. Thank you both for being here. Above all else, I'm so sorry that you lost your son. That is an unimaginable thing for most people. Can you start by telling us who he was? Because he was certainly a very memorable and exciting person from everything I have read about him. Can you tell us a little bit about Sean?
There wouldn't be enough hours in the day to tell you, give you a good description of Sean's character. People have called him their role model. At 15, 16 years of age, people are calling him their role model. He was always quick to help other people. Like most teenage kids, he tried all sports. He tried Gaelic, boxing. He was good at the boxing, soccer. He tried everything. But music and rapping was his forte.
And he was really good at it. This was something that he really, really loved and stood out for so much for doing.
Yeah, no matter what he doing, he always stood out in the crowd. But Sean's rap name was Little Red because of the colour of his hair. And he always kept his lyrics real. You know, he didn't have to talk about, you know, antisocial behaviour or any drugs or misuse or anything like that. If you listen to Sean's songs, it reflects his character, his personality, his life. One of the lyrics on one of Sean's songs is education, dedication, non-discrimination. That's how we change the nation. Mm. Bono would be proud of coming
yeah,
up
sure.
Or something like that. The God kid, Sean, he wasn't too fond of going to school. But when he was there and he was with his mates, he brightened up their day. He got on great with his sister, Zoe. He's a great character to have in the family. You know, he would always, every day, he'd wrap his arms around his mother and his mum, Karen, and say how much he loved her. And he was a great man for a good handshake and look you in the eye and say, have a good day, Dad. And he was a one in a million. And I'm not just saying that because he's our son. He left an impression on everybody. We're from Finglas. Everybody in Finglas knows Little Red, knows Sean. Now everybody in Ireland knows him.
Yeah.
True, the Little Red's Legacy Sepsis Awareness Campaign.
And what does it mean now that you have his music, that not everyone has something that they can listen to again, that they can look back on and maybe hear different things that they wouldn't have noticed before, or they take on a new meaning? I mean, what does it mean to have the work he created, now you have it forever?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to still hear his voice.
Yeah.
We have that luxury that other parents might not have, that lose a loved one. We have his voice, you know, we have his laugh recorded. You know, you looking back and listening to some of Sean's lyrics, like, I'm not going to stop till I reach the top. Sean wrote and released all his own music, and he came out with a CD, it was called Rising Up. And looking back now, in hindsight, Rising Up is what he done in the end. Mm. All he wanted to do, like, a song's called My Dream, and his dream was becoming a recognised rap artist. He sang about one of his idols, a Dublin rapper called Deanie. Deanie's involved with us now and he's promoting all Sean's songs. He's doing everything he can, all the events that we're holding. Sean mentioned Deanie in one of his songs and Deanie is so proud of that, you know.
Oh, wow. Did they get to meet?
They never met.
And how bittersweet that something like this, this person would be in your lives then afterwards. So probably something you couldn't have imagined.
That's a word we're hearing a lot now, bittersweet, you know.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, what happens would have never happened. But it's Little Red's legacy. Mm. And a legacy is what's left behind for other people to benefit from, future generations. You know, people had to listen to Sean's songs from outside the church because the church was so packed.
They couldn't get in, yeah.
No other artist would have got that opportunity, that privilege.
Yeah.
And well, that says so much about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That day for so many families is a blur, and it's so hard to even imagine ever even being in that situation. Yeah. But when there's that many people that recognise how important your child
couldn't
was.
Believe it, yeah.
Yeah, that had to be an
We knew he was popular, but on that scale, when we walked in, like, whoa. You know?
What was he like as a little boy?
He was always the same. Character.
Yeah.
Smiling.
Yeah.
Every photograph we have, he's smiling.
Where do you think that happiness came from? Was it just part of who he was?
Well, we're hoping me and Joe gave it to him, you know, the way that... And his sister as well, you know. I mean, they had their arguments, and but they loved each other, you know, as brothers and sisters do. But no, he was a really happy kid, really was. Now always, and people used to comment on it all the time, and he'd be polite to people, and he'd be 5 and 6 and saying hey to people all the time, and he'd mop a red curly hair when he was smaller, you know.
Everyone must have stopped you.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and he'd rosy cheeks then as well, so he really did stand out.
Yeah,
you know, but as Joe said, he really made an impression on people. People just remembered him.
And what a testament. As a mother myself, I know when someone says that child's very happy, there's probably nothing more a warm feeling in your heart that you somehow managed to achieve such
course,
a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Around the time of Sean's funeral, people in the neighbourhood have been approaching us, and it's jaw dropping and gobsmacking some of the things they've said. You know, like a lady in the neighbourhood said that with Sean be with his friends, he'd get off his bike and he'd go and he'd help her with her messages. You know, help her with her heavy bags. Another young man contacted me and said that only for your son, I'd be dead now. I said, what do you mean? He said, I was going to take my life. And Sean talked to me and spoke me out. And Sean never came home and mentioned that to us. Never told us that. You know, as I said earlier, people call him the role model.
Mm.
And there was a guy that works in the local supermarket, and he knocked at my door and he was very, very upset. An African guy. And he said, your son... And when he said that, I thought he was going to give out about Sean.
Oh, yeah.
He said, your son really made me feel humble, because the way he spoke to me when he was with all his friends is the same way he spoke to me when he was on his own. With respect.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
And that is such an incredible thing that not everyone has, and it's taken for granted that not that everyone has it.
That's it, yeah.
You know, like people assume maybe, but no, not everyone does have that. And it's such a remarkable trait in a person, and we should all have it.
Yeah.
It is very important, the work that you guys are doing, to talk about what happened, because Sean was not feeling well, and it's probably a good way to describe it, in that he wasn't severely sick, he just wasn't feeling he wasn't feeling his best, and you thought that he had a chest infection. Was that it?
It was on the 8th of January 2018. Sean came home from school and he said, I feel like I'm getting the flu, flu-like symptoms coming on. I said, okay. I said, you're off tomorrow, have a rest. I think I gave him a Lemsip that evening, and as you do. And Tuesday then, I heard him laughing and joking. I said, he must be okay FaceTiming somebody he was. And, you know, Sean had a real hearty laugh.
Yeah.
You'd hear him all over the house, you know. And Tuesday evening then, he said to his sister, Zoe, that he said, I don't feel 100%. He said, I know there's something there. So by the Wednesday morning then, he said, I absolutely feel rotten. So I said, okay, I'll make an appointment with the GP. I got an appointment about 11 that morning then. And by this stage, he wasn't even talking. And the only time Sean was quiet when he was asleep. You know that way?
So you knew something.
I knew, wrong, and I knew he was sick.
Yeah.
So his GP gave him, she said he had a bad influenza, a chest infection, high fever. And I'm going to give you an antibiotic in case it progresses to pneumonia. Now we know now that Sean had pneumonia, severe pneumonia. Joe brought Sean home. I got his antibiotic, and by Wednesday evening, he was very irritable. And he was, you know, normally when Sean would get the antibiotic, I gave him the antibiotic straight away.
Okay, yeah.
Normally when, I know it takes a couple of days to kind of kick in, but just by the Thursday then, he was deteriorating. I was saying, he should be getting better.
Yeah.
You know, so very irritable, couldn't sleep, saying, just do my head in, and, you know, and towards the evening then, Sean and myself were sitting on the sofa and we were watching TV and he just stopped talking. And I said, that's weird. I said, because he hasn't been sleeping. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, he's
I
not
knew
just
something wrong.
Asleep, yeah.
He stopped breathing. So I called for Joe and Joe gave him CPR.
How impossibly difficult to be. It's probably, I don't know if it does feel this way, but that thank you were both there.
Yeah.
You know, that you were both with him. But at the same time, it's like the most impossible thing to imagine, being there and trying to help save his life. How do the memories feel now when you think about them?
It's like when people say they have an outer body experience. Yeah. I think that describes it best. Mm. You're looking at something that you can't control. Mm. You know, and you're trying your best and you can't, you know.
Because your life is changing right before your very eyes and you're trying to come to grips with everything as it's happening.
Yeah.
He was taken to hospital, I imagine. And at what point did they know what was actually going on?
When Sean got in about 20 past 12 into Temple Street Hospital and we were brought into a little room, of course, and kept coming in and out. What happened? What happened? Look, he was down with his GP and Joe kept saying, look, just go in and try and do your best for him. And they didn't even know what they were looking at.
Yeah.
And then they were saying because of lack of oxygen, then there's catastrophic injury done to the brain and it'd be only a matter of time, and call family up. And it was about 6:30 then, Friday the 12th of January, Sean passed away. It was only 2 weeks after that then we found out that Sean had died of sepsis.
If you're looking for a safe haven to express how you feel, share articles, photos, and memories of your loved ones, join the Grief Encounters Facebook group, a place for support, compassion, and empathy for those grieving.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
3,000 people, I read that, 3,000 people a year.
3,000 people a year.
Die of this, and they aren't able to identify, they weren't able to identify it early.
Like that's an average of 8 deaths a day from sepsis. When Sean passed away from sepsis, and when we were told it was sepsis, like anybody, most people, we hit the internet, try and find out.
What is this?
We found very, very little on the HSE website, and anything that was there was overcomplicated. It wasn't geared to normal people. So we reached out and we got the UK and the US websites, and we gathered the data then that there was 15,000 reported cases a year.
Wow.
That's only what's reported. A lot go unreported, so there would be much higher. That's 3,000 deaths a year. That's an average of 8 deaths per day. We've been a thorn in the side for the Minister for Health and the HSE. We've asked them where the National Sepsis Awareness Campaign. Mm-hmm. I was told over the phone that we don't have money in the 2019 budget for a campaign, but we're hoping to have it in the 2020 budget. I said, that's great. Mm-hmm. I said, but you do know 3,000 people a year die from this, so not 3,000 people are going to die. And on the other side of it, says, you don't have money in the 2019 budget. Where is it in the 2018, 2017? Where is the previous stuff? Well, we do have it. I said, well, can you send it out to me, because we can't access it. It was geared towards healthcare professionals. Normal people could not understand it. There was nothing in any of our doctor, in any doctors or GP surgeries, any A&E, because we searched.
You know, we've talked a lot about this. I think when it comes to, you're at the worst time in your entire life, and then you're reading something that makes no sense whatsoever. And you're trying to interpret it, and it's vital that you interpret it and you understand it. And yet, we have to do so much work on how we deliver this information to people. Real people, not healthcare professionals. Because that's fine and good. They've gone to school to understand these things better. But we're the people who are losing our loved ones.
Yeah. So through more of the research we found then, we went in and we met a guy in the Royal College of Surgeons, and he put us onto some other information. But, you know, there was a study done, and only 28% of the Irish public have an understanding of what sepsis is. I'd like to know what percentage of that 28% is actually healthcare professionals.
Mm.
So the general public, it would be lower.
Yeah.
This is why then we came out. We went online. That's all we have available to us is social media. It can be bad for some things, but it was good for our campaign. And we started the Little Red's Legacy Sepsis Awareness Campaign. And in the meantime, we were still a thorn in the side for the HSE. We still sent emails to Simon Harris. We had a meeting with Simon Harris. We went in to Dáil Éireann, was it, Karen?
Yeah, Leinster House.
Leinster House. And 5 minutes before we were to meet him, his wife went into labour. And he went and he delivered, he had his own child. The best of luck to them. But he never got back to us to reschedule. So eventually, the HSE have contacted us and they want us to liaise with them in the National Awareness Campaign for Sepsis. We've made a video with them. There's other things on the way. There will be leaflets. There will be stuff going out with the doctor's offices. When? I don't know. If it was to me and Karen, we'd have them there yesterday.
Yeah.
Money is not an issue. Look what we've done. And we've no money. We've no funding. We've no PR groups. Mm. We're two concerned parents wanting to save someone else's life. No way is our son going to be another statistic. He's not going to be a number, you know what I mean? To date, 21 people have contacted me and Karen and saying, as a direct result of what we do on social media and Little Red's Legacy and Sean's story, that their life or a loved one's life has been saved.
Which is incredible.
It is incredible. You know, this is exactly what Sean would want. Exactly. Our son's not going to die in vain.
No. This takes power. This takes a strength inside of yourselves. This is not easy. As someone who has not lost a child, so I wouldn't even try to compare, but as who has lost people in my life, I felt finding strength very hard at times. I felt at my weakest a lot of the times in grief. Other times I felt empowered to help other people, but it was a mix. How did you find that? Was it Sean pushing you all along the way?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. We constantly say it to him, you know. It's like, listen, Shani, come on, get me through today. Get me through this. You know, give us the strength. Because there are times we're in bits, we don't want to talk, you know. Look, we knew we were coming here today and we were delighted to get the invitation to come. But we were sitting there this morning having a cup of tea and I don't want to do this.
It's hard, yeah.
You know, but it's for Sean.
Mm.
Why would we do a sepsis awareness campaign and not do everything that we can about it?
Mm.
You're all in or you're all out. There's no in between.
We did say that, you know, we couldn't see other people, other parents going through what we went through, what we are going through, you know. And like that, it's because it's Sean, this is why we're doing it.
Mm.
You know, as Joe said, he's not going to be another statistic. Oh, he died of sepsis. That's it. You know, we hear no more.
Mm.
But I said, no way. Definitely not. I said, he's definitely guiding us.
Oh, it sounds like there's no doubt about that. Have you met any other parents? Has there been any support in terms of people who have been in the position you've been in?
There's no support groups in Ireland. It was mentioned for us that would we be interested in starting one up. We've no interest in that.
No.
There's no even point pretending.
No.
We've no interest in that. We're supporting each other and our daughter Zoe and the rest of our family. We're trying to get through our grief without listening to other people's grief and with the greatest respect to other people. Even only yesterday we were in Benevent College in Finglas, one of the local schools. We've been at many schools and we give a sepsis awareness presentation.
Mm.
And we say to them, we're not here to frighten you. But these are the facts. And that maybe if there was someone standing in front of Sean giving a talk and he came home and told us, maybe we know what we were looking at. But you know, sepsis kills more people in Ireland every year than heart attack.
Mm.
Kills more people than breast cancer. Kills more people than prostate and colon cancer. And yet we know all about these. You can go into your doctor's office and pick up information
on
these.
There, yeah.
But we have to ask, why is sepsis such a secret?
So let's talk about those facts. This is what we're here to do today, is to try and get as much awareness as possible and to remember Sean. But by doing that, we can tell people, and we have an audience of people that are listening, in terms of the most important facts regarding identifying it or what you should look out for, what are those?
Some of the information cards that we've done up ourselves, you're going to call out some of the signs and symptoms to look out for, okay? Mm-hmm. So shivering, fever or feeling very cold, extreme pain or a feeling of discomfort, pale or discoloured skin or mottled skin, sleepy, difficult to arouse and feeling confused, a feeling like this is the worst I've ever felt or I feel like I might die, and a shortness of breath. So that just spelled out sepsis there. Mottled skin was one of the things we've seen on Sean, and people asked us yesterday, the lads in the school asked us, what is mottled skin? So it looks like marble. You can actually see the veins through the skin. It's a kind of a pale blue colour.
Yeah.
That's one of the big signs, and the confusion.
And then, you know, people have asked me, what is sepsis? So the easiest way I explained to them was that if you have an infection of any kind, mm-hmm, and it's not getting better, it's not clearing up, and you feel worse as the days are going on, and you start displaying maybe two or three of them signs and symptoms that's on the card, present yourself to A&E, mm-hmm, and ask them, could it be sepsis?
Yeah.
That's the easiest way I can explain.
Which brings up something extremely important, which is patient advocacy. So I think a lot of times when we go into a GP, we feel they're in control and we're scared and we don't know what to say. And sometimes if we feel something, or we have a gut instinct that something isn't right, we're afraid to speak up and say, I'm not happy with the answer you've just given me. I think I need to take it another step. We need to work on that.
Yeah, that mindset has to stop.
And another thing as well, that on the Thursday evening then, when Sean was really deteriorating, I had the mother's instinct that something wasn't right. Mm. And what was putting me off was they were telling people to stay away from hospital with flu. Joe was actually told then months later that Sean would have been turned away because he was already on an antibiotic and he had a flu.
So that's where this sepsis awareness has to come in. Like, this is where people have to say.
So people really need to be vigilant and adamant. No, I want to be seen because I'm a concerned parent.
Yeah. And that's a kind of a non-negotiable, isn't it? I mean, at the very basic, we're given our instincts for a reason. We're given, especially as a mother, you're given this for a reason. Some part of you says, I need to push this, or this isn't right. But I think society really tells us to like dull those senses and sort of say, no. Yeah. It's just, you know, even pneumonia is a very serious place to be.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things we were told from the Minister for Health and the HSE was that they're doing all, we're doing all that we can, you know. We are bringing out the training for the healthcare professionals. That's brilliant. Number one, I don't see it working too well so far. But number two, the parents need this information. Mm-hmm. We keep it within the healthcare profession. You know, who knows their son or daughter better than their own mother? Last year, for Sean's anniversary, we also had a sepsis awareness event in the Mansion House. Somebody recently said to us, and it's only when somebody else says it to you, Joe and Karen, you're the country's leading experts in sepsis awareness. Well, that's not hard because we're the only ones doing it.
Yeah.
And somebody else said, you shouldn't have to deal with this. You're a grieving parent. And that's right too.
That's an important point here. Like, oftentimes the responsibility is put on the people who have been hurt and have lost, rather than the responsibility being on the people who haven't.
Have a duty of care to people. Yeah, that
and
it's their job.
It's a very strange thing that we can't get a hold of, which is the person who is in the position of loss and grief, or if they are the oppressed or whatever the situation may be, oftentimes it's their responsibility to fight for these things.
Yeah.
Where does anger come into this? Is it there?
There's anger. There, of course there's anger. Of course there is.
Yeah, it's, you know, yeah, it's,
of course there is.
The anger is more so that Sean's death was so preventable.
Yeah. Sepsis deaths are preventable deaths.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that, you know, that is a really important thing that you're saying. These are preventable deaths, and this is the ways you guys are doing the work to show people. But that doesn't change the anger that you must feel
Of course, it's frustrating, and, you know, because the people that have a duty of care to the Irish public are not fulfilling their roles.
No.
You know, so that's, as we said, we don't want another family going through what we're going through. because it's absolutely horrendous.
Yeah. That grief, you know, this podcast is definitely all about helping people who have lost someone how to feel probably a little bit more normal in their emotions and how hard it is. Because you're doing public things, and yet, you, as you said, the real way that you deal with grief is with each other, that sort of family unit. Has it been hard to be on a stage or in a room in front of a lot of people and the grief comes, yeah, is there, and you have to hide it?
Like, sometimes it just hits you, bang. Yeah. And then other times you could be talking and not a bother.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
so
depends.
Unpredictable.
Yeah, it's, yeah, very unpredictable. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you talked about Sean, and I, you know, feel free to, if you don't want to answer this question, I totally understand. It's just something that I thought was really beautiful, that you kind of sound like you talk to him a little bit.
Oh yeah, all the time.
We haven't ever talked about this on the podcast. Yeah. I think a lot of people do talk to the person they've lost.
Of course, 100%. Till the day I die, I'll talk to him. And then when I die, I'll meet him and I'll talk to him.
More.
You know, wrap my hands around him.
Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Also important to note that there are a few tickets available for the Strictly Handbag event at the Sugar Club on Saturday, September 21st, which is in honor of Venetia's husband, Martin, who was an incredible person. There's going to be many special guests there, Panty Bliss, as well as Tony Walsh. And all funds go to the Martin Thomas Trust in association with Jigsaw. So it's definitely going to be an amazing night and definitely, definitely worth getting tickets for.